कृपया ध्यान दीजिए, द लैंग्वेज यूज ऑन द पॉडकास्ट मे नॉट बी फिट फॉर कंजम्पशन. वी वॉर्न यू, ट्रेड केयरफुली. बट लिसन यार, डोंट बी सो कंजर्वेटिव.
Okay, a very unusual rant that's coming from me with certainly unique rants, and that's not a positive spin to them. The show, of course, is Cyrus Says, remains Cyrus Says, in spite of the fact that I'm stammering and stumbling and fumbling. But that's probably because I'm at home and behind me is all the pressure of the world called marriage. But for all the cricket lovers out there, and this is my special rant, I'll call it a good rant. We don't have any live cricket. We might get some in England, in fact, by the end of next month. But for now, we don't have any live cricket. So I decided I have to do something to help people like myself who love cricket and need cricket. And so what I'm going to give you today is highly unorthodox, to use a pun. I'm going to give you one of the greats. He really is one of the best left-arm spinners that I've ever seen, who went through a very topsy-turvy career, which we'll find out more about. So we don't have live cricket, but we have live Monty Panesar on Cyrus Says. Stay with us. All righty, Cyrus Says, and at last we've got a man of power, a star, a legend, and I'm a true fan because I've watched this guy bowl, and I was just talking to my friends once we got the news that he okayed it and was coming in. I think this is the best left-arm spinner of his generation and not been given his due. He was so bloody good, super popular with the crowds, and I know the second half of his life took a different turn and what have you, and you know, people wanted to talk more about that, but for me, the left-arm orthodox, that old famous left-arm orthodox, is a tradition of our very own Bishan Singh Bedi, Maninder Singh. We've had a few others like Rangana Herath to contest against him, but for me, Monty Singh Panesar, and he's here. Left arm orthodox and perhaps a little unorthodox as well with us as we chat and banter. Welcome to Cyrus Says. Monty, a quick word on our program. I talk a lot, so you have to keep interrupting me because I don't know, I'm a bit like your partner Graham Swan, I think, full of myself that way. Also, this show is really, really amongst the worst podcasts in the history of the world and surely the worst in sports. So the good news is after this, whatever you do, it's going to be better. This is the nadir. This is the worst part ever. But having said that, you've graced us with your presence, and I'm not just trying to buy your love, but really huge fan. Really, and what people don't understand who don't really like cricket, you know, the people like cricket from the point of view of India beats Pakistan and all that jingoism. But I love to watch left-arm orthodox bowl. I just think it's one of the most beautiful things. I'm straight, as far as I know, but I got to tell you, watching a man bowl left-arm orthodox, really, it's orgasmic for me. Really, because only a Puritan can understand what I'm saying, and I know you do. And that poetry part of it, I just want to even talk a little bit about that at some point. But for now, since I've spoken for 15 minutes, I'll introduce Monty Singh Panesar. We'll get the fast bowlers off and get the left-arm orthodox in to chew the middle order and take down the tail. Monty, God bless. Thank you for coming here.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show, Cyrus. That was a lovely introduction. I am so... Well, thank you. Thank you for such a beautiful introduction. I'm assuming that you can bowl left-arm spin because the love you have shown, either you're a cricket tragic and you wish you bowled left-arm spin,
that's or it.
You do bowl left-arm spin, you need to share this with me.
Oh, I wish I could. I think it would take a lot for someone to go up to Muhammad Ali and say, look, I can box. So I'm not going to go up to Monty Singh Panesar and say, I could bowl left-arm orthodox. Whatever I could bowl would be illegal, except perhaps in Sri Lanka. Not a joke, just a point. But let's talk about the book first and foremost, because that's what we're here to sort of promote. And it's The Full Monty. Oh, by the way, I'm a huge fan of Monty Python. I know you've got a lot of that all your life growing up in bloody England. Every joker must have said the same thing to you. Monty Python, Monty Python. I mean, until you must have been like 1 millionth Monty Python reference. Here you get an apple pie. I used to get that with Cyrus the Virus, and now we've got this COVID, so it's no longer funny. So let's go to the book first, because the book has two slices of Monty. And again, salutations to you for your courage. It's very easy for people to hide their past and hide their fragilities and frailties. And I think it's fabulous that you're a human being with all this talent that God gave you on one side and all the frailties of a human being, like say myself or any ordinary human being on the other side. And you put it all together in a book and you present it to us. A bit like I would say Simon Bolivar. Gabriel Garcia Marquez wrote this book on Simon Bolivar and, you know, made him out to be a short, stumpy, dumpy man who farted a lot and loved the ladies, which is perhaps the truth. And yet found the hero in him. the man who was a revolutionary. And, you know, so from the man came the hero, instead of the way I think we are made to believe that everybody's just godlike people with no mistakes. So first, hats off to you. Wouldn't take my hat off because of the ball reference, but you know what I mean. So the book, tell us about the book, sir.
Cyrus, I got to say, you are amazing at this. You have got one hell of a sense of humor, and I love listening to you. I can't stop laughing. The references, how you're like, you know, bringing up with so much different animation. I am really enjoying it. And I've got to be honest with you, like, more people like you in India should have a personality like yours. Like, I haven't come across enough people like you in India. Like, where are they? Are they hidden somewhere, or where do they exist?
There's nobody hidden in India, Monty. There are too many of us. There's nothing hidden. It's unbelievable. I wish we were less. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Not with the COVID thing at the back, but yeah. By the way, since you segued there, you were huge in India, obviously, because the Indian origin thing and all that. And but then I also noticed that everywhere we went, you were like Monty was perhaps the most popular cricketer of the decade for a little while. Everywhere, crowd just took to Monty. So you had that.
Yeah, I found it a little bit surprising, to be honest. I thought I went to India, I go to Australia, go to England, and everywhere I go in India, everyone just I think they're just loving the way I loved cricket, my enthusiasm for the game and the way I loved cricket. And it all started when I took my first test wicket. You know, I never celebrated a wicket like that ever when I played domestic cricket. You know, I took over like 100, 120 wickets before I made my debut. And you know, to get my first test wicket as Sachin Tendulkar, like, I couldn't believe in myself. And that's where that energy, that passion just exploded from nowhere. And the fans, yeah, they loved it. You know, they loved that energy.
And that Monty celebration was unplanned, I presume. It was just too much to have been planned. It just seemed very spontaneous. I think that's what won people over also. They could see that, you know, that just brimming with zest. And I suppose you were over the moon because, as you said, Sachin Tendulkar and supposed to play spin in their sleep. And then, you know, this happened.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Cyrus. You know, it's completely unplanned. These moments, like I never thought, I'll be honest with you. I went on that trip and I remember, you know, Andrew Flintoff calling my name out in a team meeting. And I'm like thinking, like, are you serious? You want me to play against India? Like, we've got Sachin, we've got Sehwag, Dhoni, Dravid. Yeah, like Rahul Dravid. You know, we've got all the greats, you know, of Indian cricket. And at that time, if you look at the history of Indian cricket, that was probably the best batting generation, you know, of all time, I reckon. And I'm just like, I'm happy just to be a net bowler. You know, I don't think I should be playing the first test. But Andrew Flintoff, you know, he is supreme confidence. He believed in people. He just loved the way I had my attitude towards cricket. I just loved cricket, loved training. Just didn't get involved in anything else. And he could see that. So he thought he can take on the big stage. And I remember bowling to Sachin and it was just like, oh, you know, this is surreal, mate. This is not supposed to happen. But it just, yeah, it was amazing, you know. And I remember when he hit the pad, and his pads are really wide. You know, you look at his pads and you think, is he wearing two pads there?
We're not cheating, Monty. We subcontinental types are uncheats. Well, okay, we are. Thank you.
Even his bat is really, like, bigger than everyone else. Everything is just, like, of a different dimension, right?
Yeah.
And his calmness at the crease. Like, I wish I could be as this calm in life. It's just amazing to see him. It's like you feel like he's in his own meditation or something. Like, he's doing a batting stance, but it's his own yoga pose where he's just in meditation and he's just whacking the ball everywhere without any fuss. And it's just amazing to see that in real life.
Was he able to read you, or do you think they just come to the pitch?
What is there to read? I don't have a googly. I don't have a doosra. I think I remember him saying that I find it difficult to know which balls are going to turn and which are going to skip.
Exactly.
And that was a difficulty for him. And look, I didn't know myself which one were going to turn and which one were going to skid. And because I had long fingers and sometimes my action was quite explosive. So if I got my wrist positioned right, the seam position would be great and it would turn. But other times I broke my wrist, it would skid. And because normal spinners, you know, haven't got the same length of fingers or the wrist rotation, that was my sort of one of my strengths, as you could say. Some turn, some don't. And when it hit his pad, it was natural to appeal. You never think that, oh, I'm appealing against Sachin Tendulkar. It's just like, oh, my instincts tell me that's hitting the pads, I appeal. Then I realised afterwards when he lifted the finger, it's actually Sachin Tendulkar who I've got my first test wicket. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I just had to run towards point and just go crazy and celebrate.
That was fabulous.
Everything I could, because I wanted to make the most of the moment, you know. That's what I was taught. My father and my parents always said to me, whenever you reach a goal, whoever you want to celebrate, go and celebrate it full, because, you know, we worked really hard to get there. I was always encouraged to celebrate, you know, my goals and everything. And I did it. And I, obviously it's quite evident I wasn't shy of celebrating. Off I went like a rocket. And it was, you know what it was? If you look at it now, and I'm thinking about it with you, it's actually, it's a reflection on Sachin Tendulkar. You know, if he was a number 11 batsman, I probably would have just taken my cap and walked off the field. But because of his greatness, because of who he is as a human being, what he brings, you know, as a cricketer, as a human, as who he is as a person. I think if you look at it, I'm actually celebrating that. It's a celebration of Sachin, really, even though it's my first test wicket. And it's just him, you know, who he is as a person. And it's a surprise element of like, oh my God, have I really got Sachin Tendulkar as my first test wicket? This is like what dreams are made of.
Yeah, it was the rookie versus the legend. It was David versus Goliath in a sense. And I think the moment he got his wicket, I mean, just the confidence must have gone. Post the celebration also, you're there. You've taken Tendulkar, you've beaten him with spin or lack of spin, as you put it, whatever.
Yeah.
These guys are supposed to have been born and bred. You know, spinners should have been like at the age of 60, they should be able to read and play them. So, you know, I mean, that was something. But did you sledge him, Monty? Or did you say anything to him?
No, I don't think I could say anything to him. It's just, I was scared. We would always be really nervous when he comes on the field. You're like, oh gosh, I don't know what mood is he in today or how is he going to play. And I remember one innings at the Oval where he scored 90-odd. But it was like we were all watching him in awe. And when you see Sachin Tendulkar at its best, you actually don't want him to get out. You're like, wow, this is amazing. Just the way he bisects the field positioning. We changed the field position between cover and extra cover. It's in between them, exactly 50% distance between both. Like, I've never seen anyone play like him, the way he finds the gaps and the shots he plays and how he picks up the ball and how he disguises, how he picks the length up so quickly. The next thing you know, he's just gone to, you know, for four. It's unbelievable. And that's what, that was, I was so lucky to actually be there at mid-on, and we were just walking past, you know, amongst my, we're like, don't get him out. This is unbelievable what we're watching right now. And we didn't want to get him. We tried not to get him out.
So that's not match fixing. That's match watching. I guess that's okay.
Yeah, that's
the line. Yeah.
Once in a lifetime, you come across great players. You're just like, you know, let him get the runs, because this is unbelievable what we're watching.
So would he play against the spin? Would he try and put you on the leg side a lot as well?
I don't know. He would play with angles. You know, he would change the angle of his feet position. If he felt like he wants to whack a ball against the spin, he'll go more towards on the offside and then whack it, you know, into mid-on region. And if he wants to hit that same ball over extra cover, he'll just make some go towards the leg side and get the positioning right and then whack it through there. So he had this ability where he could just play two shots for one ball. And I don't think there's many players who can do that. But to see that real life and to see the completeness of it, you know, like, I don't know how hard he must have worked to make himself into such a great, great batsman. But when you see it in real life, it's something else.
Yeah. Well, let's just fast forward a little bit because we have only so much time. You got the wicket. You're in the top bracket now. You're to be taken seriously. And England has a spinner and a serious one, a left-armer to boot. Do you remember that over? Obviously, you remember that over where you got Sachin and Rahul. I mean that, I think you silenced the country. This is the noisiest. Sometimes we use the word jungly-like. I don't know if you guys picked that up. Country of the entire world. And when we come to a ground, there's no one shrieking and screaming. And, you know, the lack of rhythm sometimes that we have is opposite of, the, say, the West Indians. and some of the others around the world. But my God, when you got those two wickets, and I can feel my flesh right now. Okay, that sounds vulgar. I can feel my, you know, goosebumps happening. What that over was, it was magical. I mean, really, I think in a cricketer's life, does he have that 5 minutes where he's just like God? And there was not a sound in India, not a sound from, you know, Kashmir to Kanyakumari. There was not a sound. We couldn't believe the two best batsmen off spin for sure had been slaughtered. And of course, by a homeboy in a sense, which of course, I don't want to tell you what people started saying. Yeah, but he's Indian actually. Indian. But the truth is, Monty, that was a defining moment in your life, is it not?
Yeah, it was. It was. Because when I took Sachin Tendulkar's wicket, then I remember I got Rahul Dravid out. Bowling over the wicket, and he played a defence, and I hit his off stump, and that's really gave me huge confidence. Then I begin to realise that, wow, you know, I'm able to, like, you know, produce deliveries like this. Then I remember getting Mohammed Kaif out. He was on 90 odd. He had a nice solid defence and hit his off stump as well. And it was just like, yeah, it was like unplayable deliveries against India in India, and it's. I think what it makes you feel, yeah, you start to believe in yourself. You start thinking that actually I can produce these unplayable deliveries against probably the best spinners, best player of spin in the world. But it's a reaction afterwards. You get these wickets and you can actually hear yourself. You know, the crowd goes silent. And this is a great thing about playing cricket in India. You when India are dominant, it's like you feel like the whole nation is on top of you. And when you take one of these wickets, you feel like there's, like you said, like, are we playing in Goa or somewhere where this is the population of the country? It's like you can't hear anything. There's nothing going on. And the contrast, the experience is amazing. And that's what I love about playing cricket in India. There's so many different things you experience, you can't experience in England, but it's the intensity, you know, that, like, you're under this cooker pressure. And you've got to deal with that, the heat. The ball gets really soft quickly, no seam on it. It's so batsman dominant, and, you know, all of these factors. And that's what I love about India. You know, if you can like take on that pressure, which thankfully I did in my first tour, it set me up to become a really good cricketer, to take on pressure, because Indian cricket is really intense, you know, and you can actually make yourself into a really good cricketer by taking on that pressure. And I was very lucky that my first tour was India.
So who played Monty Panesar the best? Or rather, who was the best player of spin that you sort of, you know, bowled to or even watched?
I would say Graham Smith. Graham Smith was the hardest.
Really?
He averaged 80 against left-arm spin.
Ah, because the ball is going to leg for him, basically. But
yeah, it's easy. Yeah, his angles, yeah, he was amazing at just. He just knew how to, like, play left-arm spin really well. And his huge stature, his dominance. Like, I remember one match at Edgbaston where he gloved it. And a half appeal wasn't unsure. And Alan Dar wasn't sure either. And Graham Smith just stood there with such great presence at the crease that afterwards he did glove it. And that was a huge, huge, huge factor. Like, if he was given out there, I think... we would have won that test match because Andrew Flintoff would have got all the other wickets. We just needed Graham Smith out. And Michael Vaughan would have kept on as captain as well, because after that game, his decision not to be captain was the other reason. So that was a huge factor, that one decision makes repercussions of other decisions. But again, it shows cricket's not all about talent. It's also about your presence, your mind, your mental strength. And how you sort of, you know, use that in your advantage. And Graham Smith was a great example of that, you know. Even if he wasn't in great form, you wouldn't know about it, because his body language was so like positive and dominant at the crease. You'd always think he's in great form. But yeah, when he gloved it, like he could have walked down a Gilchrist, you know. Whenever you nick it or glove it, you just walk off. But he didn't, that made a huge factor. Yeah.
So let's put him down, Graham Smith, cheater. If he ever comes on the podcast, you have to ask him this question. Could have cost Michael Vaughan a captaincy, Monty Panesar an important wicket, in England a victory. All this with one simple gesture of not walking. Monty, then it's been a super ride for you after that. Obviously, once you took those two wickets changed everything. And post that, you became a force to reckon with. People started talking about you. But then it became the famous Lily Thompson, holding Roberts, that kind of Wes Hall, Charlie Griffith, if you go back in time. Swan. How important was Graham Swan? This is going to be asked all your life. You can't escape it. But the so-called spin twins and all that. What role did Graham Swan play and how good was he?
Yeah, look, for me, we played together at Northampton. And I always loved bowling with Swanee because it was just great to bowl with him. You know, he would bowl off spin. He would get some of the batsmen out, which I couldn't get out. I'll get batsmen out, which would help him as well. But also, you know, he's such a funny guy. So we would always enjoy bowling together. Like, even if we're getting hit for a six, we'll just walk past each other. I think we'll say, wow, you know, how good was that shot? You know, we would admire that sort of the batsman's talent, but it would relax us. You know, we never got faced under the pressure. We always helped each other. We were always, you know, we knew how to deal with the pressure in a fun way and just joke around. And, you know, he'll say to me, like, Monty, you're going to get a wicket now. You know, you're turning it or you bowl 78, what's going on? And then once I started to get a wicket, it would motivate him to get a wicket. And suddenly we'll just bowl sides out. You know, it was a similar version of Wasim Akram and Waqar Yunis, you know. I wish we played a lot more together. I reckon we would have won a lot more test matches. But, you know, our relationship was amazing. You know, we both, I remember at Northampton, he used to always say to me, you know, Monty, have a shower, go to the shower. I never used to shower because, you know, being of a British Asian background, I found it uncomfortable when I was younger to have a shower with just no clothes on. While everyone would go in there, I was like, I'm not used to this. I've never done this. So he would always say, Monty, you stink today. You've bowled 20, 30 overs. You've taken 5 wickets. I've taken 5. Well, let's go and have a shower together. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm too shy. Then one day he said, right, I've had enough of this. You know, you've been in the field all day. I've set up a nice ice bath for you. And him, Mike Hussey, few of the other players, you know, amongst the team, just picked me up and dumped me in the bath with ice cold, you know, have an ice bath. And he goes, if you're not going to shower, we're going to just dump you in there. So yeah, look, I've always had, you know, a lot of fun with, you know, Swanee, and we've always had a great time together. And during the England time as well, you know, at times I did feel the pressure because I thought, you know, I was number one spinner, then he was a better cricketer, which I knew. You know, he could bat, he was a better slip fielder. And, you know, I understood that when the wicket's turning or if it's a dry wicket, then both of us will play. And, well, yeah, he was a great support. And I was obviously, you know, helping him as well. And I don't want to put pressure on him or undermine his position. We were just like winning games of cricket. And an example of that was Mumbai, where we're just helping each other. And
You don't have to remind us. It still hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Monty, the amazing thing is, so the two of you working in tandem, but as you said, this terrible game where your best friends from the same part of the world, this, that, and the other, and then you have to fight for the place because as you grew in stature, he was threatened completely. And then I presume the captain or the manager would choose, depending on whether we have more right-handers or left-handed batsmen in the opposition. That would perhaps be the main reason. But as you said, we may have looked at batting and what have you. But would that strain the relationship, the fact that, you know, you could have got the nod as well. You know, sometimes it makes sense, they go with him. Sometimes it makes sense, they go with you. And sometimes you can say, hey, you know, this is not really fair.
Yeah, I think one of the factors was that when West Indies came over, they had a lot of left-handers in their team. And I think naturally, I remember Andy Flower said to me, he goes, look, for me, I'm obviously in a privileged position. Yeah, I've got a group of squad where I can pick 15 to 20 players and have two different teams and still compete really well. So he knew that, he always said to me, look, you know, there's a healthy competition in Swanee, but if there's more left-handers, then, you know, we may not give an opportunity for you to play. But you need to know that you keep yourself ready, you know, don't feel discouraged. But also he said, look, he's a better batsman and he's a good slip fielder. So overall, he's a better cricketer all round than myself. And I understood that. And then I tried to sort of get my batting better, trying to get my building better. But there's only so much you can do. You know, there's only so much you can't convert a tractor into a Ferrari, right? And there's only so much I can do with my building. You know, I'm sure you can remember in the first test match, well, in the first series in 2006, where I was trying to take a catch and of having such great moments during that series, there was Dhoni who whacked it. And I tell you what, his bat speed is so fast. You're like, he's hit it. And you're like thinking, where is it gone? It's actually coming towards me. And it went through the sun and I lost it completely. And there was Jimmy Anderson, who was like waiting to take the catch. I said, I'll take it. Completely missed it. And 10 meters on the right of, or right of me is where the ball landed. And then two balls later, I took the catch. And it was just that moment. It's what cricket is sometimes. Yeah. You know,
it's funny now.
Where 1 minute you're zero and all my teammates are turning around and cracking up and everyone's having a laugh and I'm the only one who feels really embarrassed.
I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'd love to take you. If I come to India, we can replicate the drill and see if we can catch it.
Monty, you're a much finer outfielder than I am. Don't worry about that. That's for sure.
Yeah, but okay. Make sure you wear a cap. We don't want that bald patch to increase in the heat of Indian heat.
Keep my hands up throughout.
No, I'll bring a cap for you. What's your Premiership football team?
Oh, Liverpool. Cheated again.
Well, they're going to win the league. I'll bring you a Liverpool cap. You can wear it. And then we can do some catching practice.
Hey, what is your Premiership team?
Oh, Arsenal.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought we would be friends.
Well, this year they're going to win the league, aren't they? The Premiership is going to start on the 17th of June. And
so will that happen?
Liverpool fans are worldwide. Like yourself, Cyrus, you're a Liverpool fan. Finally, you got something to cheer about after 30 years.
Monty, will that really happen? Even the cricket in July with the West Indies? I mean, it's all there, but will it happen? Because we're not. There's no confirmation.
No, I think it's going to happen. I think what they're going to do is the first protocol is going to be obviously Premiership. And then they're going to try and get some cricket to be played in July. And then if that goes successful, then I think it's going to be the 1st of August when domestic cricket starts. And I think it'll be just like a season of NatWest 20 cricket, like the NatWest season. And then possibly some four-day games at the back end, where by that time I will be itching to get a red ball in my hand and asking some of these counties to think, well, you may need an experienced spinner in your team. And possibly a comeback from Monty Panesar could be on the cards.
Oh, wow. That would be fantastic. That would complete this romance of the entire story. As we go into break, Monty, 3-4 quick questions I want to ask you. Who was the dirtiest cricketer in the dressing room? Who was the most filthy, most unhygienic for you?
Well, look, there were many. Trust me, there were a lot of cricketers, right? And I used to remember when Andrew Flintoff was in the England team. From day one, he would have his kit there. Day five, it would be all over the place. He would have his, and you would know that's Andrew Flintoff's corner. And it would just be loads of kit everywhere. And I'm like, I even asked him one day, I said, like, how much do you pack in your cricket bag? Like, I couldn't pack this much. Like, why has he got so much stuff there? And again, he said to me, look, Monty, you know what? I can understand why you asked me that question. Because you're not an all-rounder. You know, I'm a batsman and a bowler. And then I understood why he was such a great player.
Batsman and a bowler and plenty after six time as well. We'll take a quick break, Monty, and we'll come back. We'll go into part two, talk about the book a little more, try and promote that. But in the meantime, it's left arm over the wicket or left arm round. We'll decide when we come back in a second. Okay, back here with Monty. And the book is called The Full Monty, and why not? He's had to listen to the same pun day in and day out for his entire life. So after some time, he might as well cash in on that. Very interesting life, very interesting man, super talented spinner. And now we're chatting. I mean, for me, it's unbelievable that I can sit here, a guy from Little Gibbs Road in Malabar Hill, Mumbai.
Don't worry, Cyrus. I'll do the full Monty to you later. I'll do the full Monty.
Oh, God, no, please. Again, I'm in India. There's plenty of people without clothes. What are you saying? Oh, that's so as insensitive as we can get.
We'll go to some rural area. We'll do the full Monty there.
Brother, this is a rural area. This country is now a rural area. We're in lockdown. We have a very severe lockdown, Monty, unlike you. We've got people coming in here telling you to take your dog back in the building. And I'm like, but he has to pee. You know, it's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, but the cases have risen. I thought India did brilliant, being next door neighbor to China. They haven't had many cases, but they're beginning to increase. But you've actually been even more proactive. you've had lockdown of states. Like,
complete
states are saying, if you're from another state, you are not allowed to come in our state.
All that, yes, all that. We've got regionalism back, so people are fighting each other. It's like the old days. The British can come back and take over in like 5 minutes at the moment.
We don't want India. We want all the states to have their own independence now.
Something like that. Oh, God, please don't start that in this country. There's some secession laws China and India have put into place, which no other country can understand. But whatever, we're stuck here. And all we have is cricket. I'm so grateful we got you, because that's something interesting that's happened in the last whole season. Because there's no live sport. And for people like us, no live sport to look at. I mean, that Bundesliga went out of the, everybody watched it. People who don't even like football, who never heard of Germany, everybody watched that because there was nothing else available. But now let me get back to the book, and let's get back to it. It's amazing. We have to be a little candid here, but I think that's what you want to be, and that's what you're trying to promote as well. Because a lot of people, many of us may have mental issues or are dealing with depression or all kinds of things and don't know about it. Am I right to say that? And now with COVID, I just read this article which says that post-COVID, many of the countries are going to have more psychiatrists at work than anything else. People are worried about physical health. Mental health is going to be much more affected. Being alone, feeling scared, feeling unconfident, worrying about the economy, worrying about your future. And that's going to be a huge snowball effect.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people are going to be like feeling that we can't go back to normal life. And what isolation does, it gets you to, think about your life, which is if your mental state is in a great place, you would have a structure on your self-reflection and what you want to do in the next 3 to 6 months, what your long-term goals are, how your relationships are with people, or you maybe just want to spend a bit more time, get the time that you haven't spent over the last couple of years. You sort of give that extra Zoom calls. I'm still waiting on giving a Zoom call to Sachin Tendulkar, so I don't know when I'm going to do that. But we need to have a catch-up. It's been a while.
He's avoiding you. Ever since you took his wicket, he's been avoiding you. You're one of those rare people he doesn't want to talk to.
You know when it's Diwali, right? I'm not on the Diwali list.
No, you're not.
He's like... I'm the one who says, I'm no more chai for Monty. I'm not going to send it to him, right? So I know I'm not on the Diwali list. I've got to find a way how to get on the Diwali list where on Sachin Tendulkar's,
Well, you see, Monty, we're famous. In fact, where you're from, actually, deep down Punjab, we're famous for Mehman culture and looking after the guests. But this was too much. I mean, you come there, you take 2 wickets, turn the test match around, and the series in the end, as it turns out. So I think they've not forgotten. Listen, all the people who saw that series, people who really follow cricket, knew you were the real deal and were a little upset. Because deep down they're thinking, Indian origin, all that stuff.
I can feel that. Because since then, India have never lost a test series. And I don't think they'll lose one for a long time now. Because, we had some great players in that team. Kevin Peterson scored very quickly. Alistair Cook had probably one of the finest records in subcontinent conditions. After, Matthew Hayden. And, you look at these numbers, to score quickly in Indian conditions, it's very difficult. And spin as well, too many young spinners are playing all forms of cricket that you don't get enough time to, work on your Red Bull cricket. And look, with Virat Kohli and the sort of Virat Kohli Bharat Army.
Yeah.
Or the Hindustan Army, whatever we want to call it.
No, it's very original. We saw the word Barmy Army and we just tried to pick it up, yeah.
And with Ravi Shastri there, he's doing a fine job. Look, I would be surprised if there's another team that can beat in India. And soon that's what's going to end up happening. Soon all cricketing nations will say, actually, there's one thing we need to do. Like Steve Waugh wanted to beat India in India after it conquered, but he couldn't.
Right.
It's the same thing now. People are going to be thinking, right, we've won all the other series, but we just one we need to really win, get a tick off our bucket list, is actually the one in India. And I just can't see. I look at other nations, I just think, it's difficult.
But the answer to that is very simple. There isn't a right arm, left arm option like you and Swanee. There just isn't. You got to have both those weapons, I think, to beat India and India. You got to have the ball turning both ways with real quality spinners. There's no other way to beat us over a long test series. It just won't happen. You may win one test match because of one bad day of batting or something, but you're not beating us in a 4 or 5 test series without Monty Panesar and Graham Swan, both of whom are unavailable. Maybe Monty can still come back. We don't know. Let's hope so.
Well, if I come back and I get, look, if I come back and I get selected for England, I'll avoid the India tour.
Oh, no. Sachin will be telling Virat, just say you're sick.
Oh, yeah. I've got to get Virat out as well, right? Yeah. I'll make myself available for that.
It's the same thing. The best player against spin, once again, you just come back and play the same role all over again. But let's move on a little bit because we have only so much time. The full Monty, it's also your entire tryst with what happens post, you're in the middle of actually at the peak of your cricketing career when all this, I think about 2012, 13 was it when things started to go wrong. Monty, I remember meeting you in 2007. We were doing a show with Botham and Lamb called Beef and Lamb Stew. And so we were at some event in Delhi and I tried to speak to you and you were very polite and nice and all that. I noticed you didn't even drink. You were a teetotaler as far as I remember. Because I remember that, you know, because you stood out because these 5-6 English mates of yours with beer in their hand and I said, can I get you a drink or something? And you said, I don't drink. So that stuck with me. So this is probably a little awkward question, but what happened?
Well, I think what happened was that, I don't know, like suddenly the pressure of cricket, you know, the day-to-day pressures that you have, you do, you know, and when you're in a great place, you can sort of, let's say, lift that piano that you're, you know, climbing up the mountain, for example. And suddenly you just come across, the mountain gets too steep for you, you know. You're like, wow, you know, I'm bowling 80 deliveries or 90 deliveries for every wicket now instead of 60 deliveries. So after 180 deliveries, I'm supposed to have 3 wickets. I've only got 2 wickets, you know. And that's when pressure for a cricketer starts taking place. It's when your load is a lot more. You know, I'm bowling a lot more deliveries to get wickets. And it's taken a lot of load on me. You know, I'm finding it very difficult. In between that, I'm not getting decisions going my way. Catches being dropped. I'm not bowling the quality of deliveries that I want to bowl. So there's a lot of frustration in that. When I'm bowling a lot of deliveries to get that one wicket, it's very stressful. And it takes a toll on the mind, man.
Yeah, but you also set such a high standard. Like I said, right at the top of the show, which people should, who understand sport at all, the poetry of Monty, you know, is also part of the whole, you know, legend. It's not just the figures, not the fact that you get those important wickets, that you won a couple of series on your own, if you look at the figures. But also the fact that, you know, you brought that breath of fresh air back to cricket. Some would say Shane Warne did that before you, but having that left-arm spinner with the turban and, you know, the Indian features in the English team, I mean, it was a very special position. So there was also that, right? You had so much to look forward to.
Yeah, there was that as well. There was when I first dreamed about playing for cricket, you know, when you set your goal, I want to play cricket for England. That's what it was. I never thought that I would be the first Sikh to play for England, or Sachin Tendulkar would be my first test wicket, or these expectations of, you know, sometimes you're bowling these amazing deliveries because you've just worked so hard in honing your skill. You know, you don't dream that kind of stuff. And yeah, there was a pressure to that. You know, there's an expectation. And also, there is that constant, you know, a day in, day out, can you keep performing? Because that's what you're doing. And suddenly you stop doing that. You become harder on yourself. You initially think, well, I'm mentally okay. I never used to talk to a sports psychologist because I never needed to. But then there's come a time where I had to, but I was in denial because I thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. You know, I know my performance is like mediocre at the moment at best. But, you know, I don't need to speak to anyone. I'll get out of it. But then that, let's say I was digging myself a hole even more and more without speaking. You know, you got to speak up. You got to talk.
Where were the seniors? I mean, you were well-loved. I presume they were not just in the England setup, but in the county setup, in the family, the friends. Where was the support?
Well, then my family did support me because my family saw on, you know, behaviours that were unusual, that weren't the we know from Monty. So my family knew that he's not going to listen to us because being a sportsman, you have this pride of, you know, having a strong mindset, deal with any challenges that we've thrown to us. We can conquer them. This is who we are. This sort of imaginary superheroes, you know, that sport, all athletes are kind of under. And then suddenly you've got to have this honest conversation to yourself as a human being that actually maybe I am not well. I am not, you know, something's not right with me, right? So then my parents kind of just, you know, spoke to one of their friends and said, look, you know, I think he's not quite right. So maybe we'll just gently get him to book an appointment with a psychiatrist and let him go through a friend's route. So my mom would say, oh, you know, we've got a family friend and he's a doctor. Go and see him. He's a nice guy. He's your age. Just talk to him about what's going on. So they knew that I would listen to them because I was just in denial with myself. So that's how they helped me. They knew that something wasn't right, but they did it in other means. And so I'm always thankful for them because that's, you know, good parenting, you know, having that self-awareness that your child isn't well.
And Indian parents, Monty, Indian parents, best in the world.
They are best in the world. They emotionally have invested so much time in you, but also sometimes as a parent, you got to think in a logical mind and not get emotionally attached to your child and think, actually, what is wrong with this human being? Maybe we can find some help for him from that sense. And yeah, they were brilliant in helping me like that.
Yeah, I'll just quickly talk about the drinking issues I've had myself. I don't drink anymore either, but it got out of hand. I've done some stupid things. I remember I got beaten up by sailors in a bar and I had no recollection. Until the press called up and, you know, then my mother and, you know, the whole thing. And the funny part is I just couldn't remember what I was doing over periods of time. Yeah, initially it was fun and everybody laughed about them. But as it became repetitive, people started getting worried. Just a couple of your stories, which were, you know, I mean, the guy I saw and then seeing this happen, it just shows you how life can go from one side to the other very quickly. Was there a point of that famous story in the bar, I think, where you urinated on the bouncers or whatever? Was there a point where you said enough is enough? Did something like, you know, trigger a sort of stop this?
No, the week after I already had my appointment booked with a psychiatrist, but my family helped me. But I think there was a bigger problem, you know, underneath all of this, right? And I think I was mentally, I was very ill. I wasn't well at all. And I was using alcohol as a way of making myself feel good without realizing it. You know, you casually, you know, go to the pub, you watch football. You know, football's a big culture in England. It's always on Sky Sports. It's on them sort of times where you go and have a drink as well. You know, it's they've tailored it perfectly, you know, where people can buy alcohol and watch football. And I found it as a release. I thought I'd watch my favorite football team, have a few pints. But I didn't realize actually I was using alcohol as a medication because it's an antidepressant itself. And the more I did research, the more I spoke to psychiatrists when they asked me for my relation with alcohol, mm-hmm. I was actually using it as medicine, as a medication for making myself feel good. And then I realized that actually I need to stop this because it's not good for me. I'm using it as an antidepressant pill, but in alcohol form. So I stopped and then I thought, right, I've got to, you know, like with any challenge a sportsman has, this is a challenge for me. I've got to find a way of getting better and I'm going to do it because, you know, if I can get myself playing for England, I can conquer this challenge as well. So then I've started to, you know, my journey of getting better.
Yeah, I hats off to you, Monty. I said that in the beginning, really mean that. I think the fact that you can be open and candid, I think that's 80% of the battle right there. You know, just pushing it out there and moving forward from it. But you brought up a point which is very interesting, which is many of us, now I used to binge drink and misbehave, and I would also like to blame it on Liverpool as you did on Arsenal, but unfortunately we can't. Will there be many of us out there, many people out there rather, who don't even know they have this depression or these demons because they sort of just use it as a form of therapy, temporary therapy, and, you know, then pretend everything's all good? I mean, there must be millions of people like that.
Well, look, one thing I've seen is a rise of alcohol consumption in India. It's doubled or tripled since the last 10 years. And, you know, I saw some videos of like liquor stores just been opened during coronavirus and everyone just queuing up miles upon miles to get a bottle of whiskey.
Monty. If you live in India, you'll have to drink. It's really hard. Yeah, no, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. So look, I think if you know how to handle alcohol, go and drink it. I couldn't, you know, I've got to be honest. Yeah. I couldn't, let's say my connection with alcohol or how to deal with alcohol, you know, I didn't have a good relationship with alcohol. So I stopped. I thought this is not good for me. I stopped.
And that's why. I have my pick me up. No, this is coffee, Monty. This is good old cup of Joe. This is coffee with a little bit of vanilla. You know, I'm it's not a very heterosexual drink, but you know, I mean, everything goes to everybody.
Nice.
Lovely. It's lovely. Don't worry. Alcohol's loss is coffee's gain. That's what I say. Do you drink coffee?
It's for all the vegan drinks. It's their gain for the people who don't drink alcohol anymore. The herbal tea. It's all about the herbal tea. Yeah. Let's bring it back.
You're selling India. Herbal tea is us. You're selling India. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Monty, before we go into the AMAs, the book, where do we get the book? How do we download the book? How do we buy the book?
Yeah, you can get the book from Amazon and it's all there. So, yes, you can order it from Amazon. And that's the best way to get it.
Well, one final thing I'd like to ask you. Did any of the teammates come through for you on your darkest days?
I got a message from Freddie. I remember I got a message from Andrew Flintoff. He messaged me. He said to me, mate, you know, I hope everything's okay. I'm just worried about you. And just, you know, and messages from other cricketers as well. And you know what it is? It's just a message, just a text message, just a call. It makes a difference. You don't realise it, but it makes a difference because it just psychologically makes you think, hang on a minute, there are other people out there who do worry about you and they want to make sure you're okay. So, you know, if you, like, you should always think and ask yourself the question, right? If you don't have five people that you can speak to when you don't feel great, it shows that you don't, your relationships with your friends are not that strong. So you need to find good five friends or a couple of family members where you can just speak to. The more you speak, then it's the best call, it's the best remedy for a healthy mind. Whatever's on your mind, you can have a chit-chat, have a laugh, whatever. It's really important.
Mr. Monty Panesar, I say this with a touch of irony. Are you nuts? You are so well-loved, you have no idea. You come to India, you won't have to spend a rupee. You'll just have to come here with your chaddis, as we say. Bring your chaddis, come off the airport, and we'll send you back when you want to. You won't have to spend a rupee. You are worshipped here, and you always will be. You are the man who slayed Sachin and Rahul at their pomp, at their peak, in the Wankhede Stadium in front of 50,000 screaming fans. You made India quiet. Noise pollution went out for a few hours thanks to you, brother. Let me tell you, a lot of love and respect. If you got out a little more, you'd know how many people like you. When they told me that this Monty Panesar is talking to my friend Nishal, I went berserk. I said, I want this guy. You have no idea how good you were? You were really bloody good, man. Really bloody good. I was just telling my son, just to watch him bowl. Forget the wickets. Just watch him bowl. Just watch those hands grip the ball. Just watch the flick. Just watch the way the ball, you know, goes away from the right-hander if you can. But, you know, I'm waste poetry on Philistines of the world. That's just for us cricket lovers. But I must tell you, a lot of love and respect. And you please come to India if England's not treating you properly. Because we are a terrible country in many ways. But when we have a hero, we don't care about anything else. You could kill people. It wouldn't bother us. You're a hero for life, as far as we're concerned. I'm telling you this, not just from me, from millions of Indians who watch you play. Now, are you ready, sir, for the AMAs, which are cricket
related? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Follow me at Instagram and Twitter on Bored Brocha. I'm so bored, I need your help. I need your love. I need your touch. Okay, just follow me. Silvery, get on board.
All right. Hey, guys. The first question comes in from Bibek Mishra. He asks, hi, Cyrus and guest. Hope all is well with each of you. My question is, what is your opinion on the request of players like Suresh Raina, like Irfan Pathan and Robin Utapa to be allowed by the BCCI to play other leagues around the world? In my opinion, players after a certain age should be allowed to make that choice of still trying to get into the Indian team or playing overseas if they want to. What do you guys think?
Monopolistic traditions of Indian BCCI board members. Monty Panesar, you tell us, as a professional, they try to control the Indian cricketers, even the ones on their last legs or the ones who are not going to be selected anymore, won't give them an NOC to play, say, Big Bash or in England or Bangladesh or wherever. You think that's fair?
Well, this is, I think, you know, the slight challenges that the IPL, BCCI authorities have. Now, would it dilute the IPL if Indian players are playing in other T20 leagues? And I think it would. You know, one of the star attractions of IPL is seeing only Indian players who are playing in T20 in the IPL. And that's the attraction for it. Like, you have Messi in La Liga, you have Cristiano Ronaldo in the Italian league, you have like Harry Kane in the Premiership, right? you have some players which we just watch. And that's the other reason why we watch the IPL. You have like Harbhajan bowling and Dhoni. You know, imagine Dhoni going other T20 leagues. People will switch off from the IPL. You lose, that's its USP. So I can understand.
He's not going to be, Monty, if he won't be picked for India anymore, then perhaps he'll be allowed to work beyond 6 weeks in March, April. I mean, isn't it fair that he plies his trade for the rest of the year, wherever it's possible, if you're not picking him for the Indian squad?
That only depends on the revenue streams, because he's such a big player that if his fan following reduces, or if, you know, there needs to be some sort of, I think, because he's a unique player. Now, if he goes to other leagues, then I think the BCCI would say we need a percentage of the revenue coming into us as well, because we made the IPL made you such big, famous, you know, cricketer. We paid you millions of pounds. We've made you all of this. You become super rich. Now you are a brand from the IPL. Do you understand? Now that brand goes to the Big Bash, goes to the NatWest T20, goes all around the world. You're taking the IPL brand with you. We need a percentage of them fees, or a percentage from the league. If you want a Dhoni to come into the Big Bash, we need a percentage going into from the Big Bash. Because Dhoni going into the Big Bash will sell out crowds, sponsorship will be going through the roof. There's so much money he's bringing to the table. He can't do, if he becomes a sole trader, then the IPL will know that it's losing its brand value. And I can see why they won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking to the future England and Wales Cricket Board president? Is it possible? I thought you handled that bouncer pretty well. Went back and let the ball slide and drop near your feet. Excellent. Silvery, next question for Monty.
Right. The second question comes in from Jatin Jagota. He has actually sent in a previous question also. But this one he asks, question for Cyrus and others. Who is your favorite cricket commentator from India and why? My favorite is Harsha Bhogle. And it would to hear Harsha and Cyrus discussing cricket together.
I like Sanjay Manjrekar, if you're talking of Indian commentators, because I think he likes to get under your skin a little bit. And I like that because he brings a lot of interest with his innuendo sometimes and slight left of center views occasionally. And I think he really knows the game and loves it. But I'm sure Monty will have other people. Monty, your Sky Sports team is fantastic. I think Nasir Hussain and gang, I think they're fabulous. They have that English irony, plus they stay with the game. But, you know, even if you don't like cricket, you can sort of listen to them. They're just fun.
Yeah, they are. They're brilliant. You know, I think Nasir Hussain is one of the best commentators around. We've got David Lloyd, who's a fun side of things. And then we have Mike Atherton, who gives always a balanced view. You know, who give you a left-hand side, right-hand side, and you make the judgment, you know, and leaves it to the viewer. So I think they're brilliant.
And what about Monty? Could we see Monty in the commentary box?
Yes, I would love to become a media presenter, broadcaster. I would love to...
What's your agent doing? You're of Indian descent in England. I mean, you represent everybody. You should be in the front, right there in the commentary box. I would think, demographically speaking, you're a dream come true.
Yes, I agree with you. So I would love to work on Sky Sports, you know, Star TV, maybe Hindi, Indian commentary. Was it?
Yeah.
You know, so I would love to become a media presenter, broadcaster. You know, I would love that.
Silvery, get me the board president. This is ridiculous. Monty, jokes apart, you really should. I just thought about it. I mean, and if you can speak Hindi as well, I mean, I can't understand.
I'm a Hindi mein bhi baat kar sakta hun.
Baat kar sakta Hindi mein? Kya baat hai? To MCBC, pata hai kya hai? MC?
Aap mujhko batao.
Ma ki rishtedar or BC band ki rishtedar. Basically, that's the best I can do in this political time.
Aapne mujhko both badhiya samjhaya.
Tarif kiya maine. Bujaya nahi, tarif kiya. Aapne Sachin aur Rahul Dravid ko bujaya. And Wankhede Stadium ko khamosh kiya aapne. Yeah. Listen, Monty, you've been beautiful, man. Really wonderful seeing you. And I'm so proud of you. I'm saying that as if I'm older. I don't even know our ages. But the fact of the matter is that the fact that you put it all out there, you brought yourself back. And I hope people never forget how talented you were and what you have done. and you deserve all the accolades in the world for what you've done. Let's not ever take that away. Fabulous cricketer, and great talking to you. Honestly, superb. Am I sounding like one of those teenagers? I think I'm on the line of heterosexuality and beyond now. I better stop here and rein myself.
No, I think this. You all you need is a Monty t-shirt or a Monty t-shirt. Yeah. That's it. See, or paint yourself up. You need to do the, you know, like a Dhoni to thinky paint.
Yeah. No, I'm saying Indian fans.
I would never, Cyrus. Yeah. We would never do that. We will go to a nice bar, our herbal tea, and look cool amongst all the other guys with their pint of beer glasses, watch a Liverpool Arsenal game, and then we can discuss how Arsenal beat Liverpool, which probably be.
How dare you, mate. I'm praising you to the skies. Oh, that's fabulous. That's absolutely fabulous. All right. Cheers, Monty. All the best to you. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. Have a good one.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys. Okay, catch us on any of the podcasting apps, please. We beg you. We need you. Send us your questions on Twitter on Cyrus Says In. Or you can email us, even if you're not female, on whatcyrussays@gmail.com.